We're going to continue in the thoughts of judgment, and I want to make a statement real quick, and that is, judgment is good when it's done right, okay? We got into last week that Jesus said in John 7 and 24, judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment. Now let's back up just a little bit of review. What is judgment itself? Dividing, that's perfect, Carrie. It's being able to divide. And I had mentioned either in a fellowship or maybe in one of the recordings, there was a scripture we used to use all the time. How many of you remember 2 Timothy 2 and 15? Does anybody remember it like that, or do I have to quote it? Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That's what judgment is from God, is rightly dividing the word of truth. And the statement that I made was, I noticed from the beginning of my pursuit to know God and my relationship with Jesus Christ that he began to bring judgment into my life and look at my heart, look at my thoughts, judge them immediately. See, I don't know about you, but when I pray, I believe what I pray. And I read in the book of James, he said, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of the Lord, who giveth liberally and upbraideth not. I believed that when I read that. So I prayed and asked God, Lord, will you give me this wisdom, your wisdom that you're talking about here? I started reading the Bible. I understood that wisdom was a principal thing. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And so it was like, we really need this principal thing. We really need this wisdom. And what I was going to bring out is, I noticed the first place that God began to judge was when I was reading his word. When I was looking at the Bible, the inspiration of God, the holy scriptures, I began to see that God was dividing it for me. You know, it says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Because I don't know about you, but I've had people tell me things about God that they believed and they were not true. Lo and behold, I come out, find out later, not everybody tells you the truth, and not everybody knows God that says they know God either. Okay? So I'm reading the word, I'm praying, I'm seeking God with my whole heart, and he begins to show me truth in his word. He begins to divide it. Now, I quoted this scripture last week, and I was listening to it again, and in Hebrews 4 and 12, you guys remember what that says? That the word of God is a discerner of the thought and the intent of the heart. But you know what else it says? That the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing, go back and read it, dividing even to the soul and spirit and to the marrow and joints, and then is a discerner of the thought and intent of the heart. So when God judges, he divides. Once it's divided, let's just say light from darkness. Then you can see and perceive what light truly is or what darkness is. Or let's go truth to a lie. He divides these things in our heart, in our mind, in our thoughts, and shows you what's right and what's wrong. This is a simple explanation for judgment. But we already know, we've talked about it. It tells us that we must all appear before the judgment seat of God. And last week, and we're gonna talk more about that. So it's a must, but we're gonna read a scripture here in a minute that says some men's sins go beforehand unto judgment and other men's follow after. So is it true that when you die physically here that you're gonna stand before God and be judged of the things that you've done in your body, whether they be good or bad? Yes, but is it also true that you can execute that judgment and have your sins go beforehand, taken care of before you die in this life? And the answer to that is absolutely. See, some men's sins go beforehand into judgment, others follow after. Which way do you want to do this? Let me define some things for you. What is sin? What is sin? Somebody say, well, if you drink more than two beers, you're in sin. If you smoke a cigarette, smoke a joint, doing these drugs, that's sin. Let's let the Bible tell us what sin is. Because more important than anything like what it's telling us is what it does. Isaiah, Tim said, your sins and your iniquities have separated you from your God. So think about that. God comes in and he divides thoughts in you. The thing that separates you from him, he separates it from you. And then when you see in judgment, oh, that was a lie, that wasn't true. God doesn't dwell in lies. He dwells in the truth. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and there's no way into the Father but by him. So that's why it's so important to allow God to judge our hearts, teach us the word of God, show our sins. And like one person said, well, why do we gotta confess our sins? Well, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. But what about the sins, the misunderstandings, the misperceptions that you don't know are in your heart? Does the Spirit of God have to come and shine light on that and reveal that to you? And then you confess it? Your spirit, by our mediator, Jesus Christ, will confess that to God? Here's the reason why. Because there are things that are hidden. There are things that are hidden from us. Paul said, judge nothing before the time until the Lord cometh, who will bring to light both the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts. And he says, then shall every man have praise of God. But notice, hidden. Hidden things of darkness. Things we don't know that are there. And I'll give you an example of manifestation. Let's say there's some thoughts working in your mind and you don't realize it, but they're causing you to be depressed. They're oppressing you. They're bringing anxiety into your life. And you go to an MD or a holistic doctor, whichever way you choose, and most of the time, sad to say, they throw medication at you. Pills, drugs, prescription. And you know, most of the time for most people, you get your prescription, you take one in the morning and one at night. If it starts feeling good, well, if one's good, then two's better. And you start taking more than what you should, or more than what's prescribed for you. And some of these drugs can be very addicting. You know that? But what if the origin of your issues are the way you think? Your thought, what's in your heart? You may say, well, the medication is going to help. Good. And I'll say it this way. Use it according to as it's prescribed. Is that fair enough? If it's helping you and it works, God bless you. Use it according to how it's prescribed. But to overdo it, to, what do you want to say, overindulge, may not be your answer. What if there's thoughts inside of you of fear? What does fear do to you? I'm talking the kind of fear, Jennifer said it right there, she mouthed it, torment. God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of love, of power, and of a sound mind. So notice what's the opposite of the sound mind, that fear that torments. Are you with me? The fear that torments. So can God come and bring, John said that perfect love casts out fear. So instead of relying on a substance, could there be times where God could come in, judge your thoughts, look at your heart, and say, this is, you know, Jesus is called the great physician. You know that? You know, the scripture tells us that a merry heart doeth well like a medicine. I'm not preaching against MDs. I'm not preaching against doctors any way, shape, or form. What I am saying is, why don't we give God a chance too? Why don't we give God a chance and an opportunity to bring perfect love in your life, because love, perfect love casteth out fear. He that feareth is not yet made perfect in love, Daryl. That's what 1 John says. So when we're talking about judgment, what I'm saying is, can we give God a chance? Can we give the word a chance to divide and separate? And this is really neat. We talked about this last week and it blessed me. When judgment comes, and I'm talking about rightly dividing, you know, the word, your thoughts, God's thoughts. When judgment comes, God separates the thing that's not him from him, or a lie from the truth, light from darkness. When he divides that, then you have an opportunity to separate yourself from the thing that's not God. And when you do that, you know what God does? We'll read this at the end of today's sermon. We've already talked about it a little bit. He immediately joins you into him, and you become his. So is judgment good? Judgment's very good. Go with me to 1 Corinthians, the second chapter. We talked about this last week. It was hilarious. I said, we're going to open up in 1 Corinthians 2, and we never even went there. We just talked about a whole lot of good stuff the rest of the time. But I did ask you guys to read this because it's talking about the natural man and the spiritual man. I don't know if we're going to, we'll read it. That the natural man, the things of God are foolishness unto him. Now, why would the things of God be foolishness unto the natural man? Because here it's going to divide and show you there's a spiritual man and there's a natural man. You know what the judgment of God will do for you? It's what it's done for me. When he begins to rightly divide the word of truth, it makes you spiritual. See, God is a spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So if God's bringing you judgment and he's rightly dividing that word for you, he's making you like him. He's dividing the thing off of you, which would be the natural man. See, this is why you must be born again, Jesus said. The natural man carries thoughts of foolishness. The natural man really is the fool. The fool that builds his house upon the sand, and the wise man builds his house upon the rock. You'll see here in this chapter, Paul talks about using the wisdom of God and the Spirit of God to help the spiritual man discern correctly or judge. As a matter of fact, we're going to read that the spiritual man judges all things. All things. So don't be afraid to judge. Just do it right. And that's what we spent a lot of time last week with. Now, 1 Corinthians, 2nd chapter, 12th verse. Now, I'm going to reiterate something here because I don't want to step on anybody's toes here today. I'm not preaching against drugs or medication from the doctor. If they help, use them. Use them correctly. But my cry to you here today, my thought to you is today, can we also give God a chance? Can we give God a chance at our thoughts, at our heart? So don't take me wrong here today. If you did, repent and get forgiven. 1 Corinthians 2 and 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we may know the things that are freely given to us of God. So how do you know what God gives you or the things that God freely gives you? He's given you his Spirit. It's by his Spirit. Verse 13, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. So the natural man, we're going to read next, the things of God are foolishness unto him. Why? Because he does not discern them spiritually. Did you see the end of that? He said, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. So they have to be spiritually discerned. Compare spiritual with spiritual, and you'll be a wise man. Verse 15, but he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. Wait a minute. Who judges the spiritual man? What does the spiritual man do, Tim? He judges all things. Because he's got God's wisdom. He has an understanding heart, like we talked about in 1 Kings, the third chapter. As a matter of fact, Walker, that 1 Kings 3, I'm going to tell the story a little bit, and then I want you to read the last verse in that chapter. Now, this is about King Solomon, David's son. In 1 Kings 3, the Lord appears to Solomon in a dream by night. And basically, I'm going to paraphrase all this, okay? Because what can I do for you? What can I give you? He comes to him in a dream. How would you like to have a dream like that? Where God comes, hey, that's better than the little leprechaun in the pot of gold, ain't it? What can I do for you? We're talking about God Almighty. And Solomon said, I'm young. I'm but a child. I don't know how to go out or come in. What I need is an understanding heart, he said. And the reason I need an understanding heart, Tim, is to judge your people. You have a great people. I'm the king. I need an understanding heart from you to judge your people. Now, God comes to him and tells him, not only am I going to give you a wise and understanding heart because you didn't ask for it, I'm going to give you great riches also. What I want to point out is Solomon asked for an understanding heart, and then when you go back and read it, you got to get in there, Carrie, and rightly divide it. You got to look close. God kept the order that we've been talking about, and that is, the scriptures tell us, get wisdom, with all that getting, get understanding. And we show you that wisdom is the first thing. It's the principal thing. Wisdom is the interpretation of a thing. So it could be thought or intent. God's thoughts, your thoughts. It's the interpretation of a thing. When God gives you the correct interpretation or judges correctly, now you get understanding. From that understanding comes a knowledge of the truth, a knowledge of the holy. Different than just any knowledge. You know how they say that knowledge is power? Do you agree with that? I do. It is, isn't it? Knowledge is power. But what about the knowledge of the holy? That's even more powerful, okay? So when God gave him what he asked for, go back and read it. He says, I'm going to give you a wise. He put the wisdom first. A wise and an understanding heart. Solomon asked for an understanding heart, Walker, and God says, well, this is how you get an understanding heart. You have to have wisdom. So he gave him a wise and understanding heart to be able, the scripture says there, to discern judgment. Solomon was very careful. I want to judge your people correctly. And his first judgment was the two harlots that had babies. And one rolled over and smothered her baby and then traded with the live baby and went before the king and said, hey, this alive baby's really mine. The dead one's hers. And they went back and forth. And Solomon, we got to mention this because we've said before, wisdom is being able to see the end of a thing. You know, if I do this thing, what is going to happen? Solomon knew, when I say that I'm going to take a sword and cut this baby in half, the one whose baby it really is will say, don't kill my child. Don't give it to her. At least the child will live. And that's exactly what happened. And Solomon said, nope, the one, she's not telling the truth. She's lying. Give the baby to this woman here. It's her child. Walker, do you got that chapter? I want you to listen to the very last verse in 1 Kings 3.
It says, and all Israel heard of the judgment which the king had judged, and they feared the king, for they saw that the wisdom of God was in him to do judgment.
Did you hear that? It's what we've been saying in all of these, this series on judgment. The wisdom of God was in the king. They feared him because the wisdom of God was in the king. It says to do judgment, huh? Did you ever think that God would entrust you? You know, we trust the Lord, right? We read the scriptures, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge him and he'll direct your path. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. And we preach and we talk and speak about trusting the Lord. Trust the Lord. But you know there's a scripture that says the Lord desires to trust you? What do you think about that? Well, are we trustworthy? Say, well, I think some of the time, part of the time, maybe all the time, I don't know. What do I really need? I need the Lord to judge it. But if God desires to trust you with the true riches, you can go back and read it for yourself, one of those true riches is judgment. He puts it, Zachary, in our power, in our hands. The ability to work with him and judge these things and divide the evil off from our thoughts and off from our heart. That's pretty honorable. That's pretty privileged, if you ask me. I feel like, that's awesome, God. What do you think, Cindy? That he would entrust us with something as powerful as judgment. So again, judgment is dividing. God divides, let's just say it this way, sin off. He'll reveal it in your heart. He'll divide it from you. What's the opposite of sin? What do you think? Faith. We do opposites. Faith?
Righteousness.
What, Tim?
Righteousness.
That's exactly right. If you look in Paul's writings in Romans 6 and 7 right there, he says, you were the servants of sin, but now you're the servants of righteousness. So know you not to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, him your servants too. So do you see why it's so important for God to reveal these sins? And let's get back to that definition of sin. What is the definition of sin? Because a lot of times people judge sin by the outward appearance. But the scripture says that whatsoever is not of faith is sin. So if you have something in your heart or in your beliefs that's not of faith, would it be important for God to show that to you and say, look, this is what it is. I've forgiven you for it. Let's separate it, separate you from it. It's no longer hid. And let's move forward. Jesus' blood, he's already forgiven you for these things. But what if you don't know what you're forgiven for? Could that thing come back and seduce you? Could it come back and deceive you? And so let's say God gives you joy and you're no longer depressed. But you don't realize that there's still a thought there trying to oppress you and hold you down. And it comes back and it gets alive again. And you get depressed again. And you're having trouble in life. And some people get so depressed that they want to take their life. That's really sad, isn't it? To come to a place and a thought like that. I'm not going to use any names, but an individual that was very, very, very successful in this area in real estate. He got so bad in his thoughts that, could you imagine this? Taking a 357 and shooting yourself in the chest. That's not all, bro. It didn't kill him, so he shot himself twice. That thought is just almost, it's beyond me. You know, we say things like, I don't understand how somebody could do that. That's not a true statement. I understand how somebody could do that, but I would never want to. Sometimes we use terminologies like, I don't understand, and you're really saying, I just ain't doing it. I understand it, Daryl, and I'm not going there. But there are spirits that talk to us. There are spirits that need to be discerned and judged and revealed that work in the spirit realm. There's principalities, there's powers, there's spiritual wickedness in high places. That's the warfare we fight. But what if God reveals those things to you and then by faith gives you the power to overcome it? Now you're no longer the servant of sin. That sin's not hidden. It's been divided from you. You're separated from it. Tim, it has no more power over you. Because of the blood of Jesus, Tim, no more depression, no more anxiety, but joy and peace now ruling and reigning in your life. This is what I'm talking about is judgment. And God, Jesus Christ himself died for you and I, not only eternal life. He says, I come that you might have life. But what else did he say in that scripture? And life more abundantly. So you can have good life, solid life, built upon a rock right here, right now. And Jesus Christ died for you for that reason. Amen? So we was reading in 1 Corinthians 2 and 15, but he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Now in 1 Timothy, the 5th chapter, the 24th verse, when I read this, we've paraphrased it, we've talked about it, we've probably quoted it perfectly. But in 1 Timothy 5 and 24, Paul said, some men's sins are open beforehand, going before to judgment. And some men, they follow after. Let's think about this. Which one do you want? Do you want to present yourself at the Bema judgment seat of God? You want to stand before his throne and bring with you the thing that separated you from him? That's what sin is. The thought of foolishness is sin. All unrighteousness is sin. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Look at sin as a misperception of the truth that will keep you separated from God. Now, do we want God to deal with that thing? Yes, we do. We want to be an open book. Lord, search my heart, try my reins, see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. That's what David said. I'm an open book to you, Lord. And you know what the awesome part about that is? God already sees your heart. He already knows every thought that comes into our mind. So all you're doing is saying, now I give you permission to execute judgment. I'll work with you to clean this temple up so you will have a clean house, Lord, to live in for eternity. And I'll be a changed, different person. I'll have a clean temple. Carrie, there'll be no thieves. There'll be no money changers. There'll be no rust or moth or anything that doth corrupt. Bring me into and through judgment, Lord, I trust you. And then when you pray that prayer, and I'm saying when you really mean it, you put your seatbelt on and hold on, okay? Because God will be faithful to judge those things, to look at your heart. And here's the other thing I want to encourage you with. Jennifer, you were talking about this when you were opening up today and you were emceeing. It's not good that the man is alone, God said about Adam. It's not good to be alone. Faith without works is dead, being alone. So if God, and he will, begins this judgment, begins to open his word up to you, begins to open your heart up, don't be afraid to get help. Get somebody that's been through it or has some wisdom and understanding that God has worked with, somebody a little more mature. In other words, the spiritual man. Find a spiritual man or woman. It's not just, not gender, what do you say, correct. In Christ Jesus, there's neither male nor female, right? But get some help. There's no shame in it. The worst thing you could do is try to come through judgment and try to understand God by yourself. Because there are unseen, invisible spirits that are there to work you over. But somebody that's learned some of these things and come through some judgment, they'll be happy to help you. And I'll tell you what, you know what else? About somebody that's coming through judgment or came through judgment and God's revealed this thing to. Unless they're just a foolish idiot, they will not judge you wrong. They have been judged. They have been forgiven. They're not about to, unless they're in the thought of the fool walker, come back and judge you for something you've done wrong after being forgiven. That would be foolishness, wouldn't it? God showed me, God revealed it to me, I'm so thankful, and you're an idiot. And I, you know, and you got all these terrible thoughts, and I'm going to judge you unrighteously. No, no, no. Our elders, our deacons, as God is cleaning their house and purging their temple of sin and these things, I'll tell you one thing that it produces, Jennifer. And you say it in your prayers every time, we're so thankful. It produces a thankfulness. Thank you, God. And you know the awesome part about this also is, it says some men's sins go beforehand unto judgment, others follow after. If you handle your sins or your, let's say, bad thoughts and bad intents with you and God, nobody else has to see it. Doesn't that sound like the best way? Kind of like being naked, huh? I'm going to do that in the privacy of my home. Nobody has to see my nakedness. I don't have to feel ashamed. God's going to take care of me, and he's going to keep it between him and I. Then you need some help, and you bring somebody else you can trust in, and you work through and walk through the judgment. Now, read this one more time. Some men's sins are open beforehand, going before the judgment, and some men they follow after. Likewise, also the good works of some are manifest beforehand, and they that are otherwise cannot be hid. Notice here, likewise also the good works of some are manifested beforehand. In judgment, God doesn't just show you sin. Walker, he teaches you what is right. He shows you righteousness. And I'm going to close here today in, I think it's 2 Corinthians 6. Yep, that's what we want. 2 Corinthians, the 6th chapter and the 14th verse. Remember, we've said this order multiple times. We did it last week. To judge is to divide. God will come in with the truth. He'll divide evil from righteousness, unjust from just. And then once he's divided it and you can see the difference, now you can separate yourself from the darkness. And then what God will come and do is join you unto him. Put you in him, put you in the light. This is judgment. But do you want it to go beforehand or you want it to follow after? And I think it's so powerful. Oh, there's so much more to mention here. I don't know if I've ever done a part four in a series, but we're getting pretty close right here. We were in fellowship yesterday, Tristan, Walker, and Tim and I. And the scripture came to me. Wasn't it John 16 that the prince of this world is judged? Go back and read it. The prince of this world is judged. So when God is revealing that evil that's in us, you know what he's really doing? He's reminding the devil that this condemnation is yours. It's not one of my children's. He's reminding him he's already been judged. But what he does, and he's pretty good at it, he takes his judgment carry and he puts it on you. 1 John 3:8 says it's the devil that sinneth from the beginning. He wants to convince you of his sin, of his condemnation, of his damnation, and cause you to be separated from God. That's what he does continually. But Jesus died so we don't have to be deceived, so we don't have to take on his condemnation. But I'll tell you where it works in the beginning. You just got to come through it. Paul said in the qualifications for a deacon, I believe it is, or a bishop, not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil. Whose condemnation is it? It's his. When do you get deceived or convinced of sin? When you're a novice. You're a beginner. You're a child. You're young in God. But I mean, think about any good father. Zach, if you saw somebody, a stranger, going to hurt one of your children, do you take care of that? I was in Chicago one time. First moved out there. Hadn't even been there a year. And this Bible study we're at, an individual, this shows you how people interpret scripture. The guy said, in this house, I have my wife and I have my three daughters here. If somebody came to this house to hurt my family, do horrible, I don't even want to say the words, to my daughters and to my wife, he said, I could not do anything. I would not touch them, because Jesus said, do violence to no man. And you know what I told him, Zach? I wrote my phone number down. I said, if somebody comes to your house, you give me a call, I'll be right over. I will take care of this in a heartbeat. No. A good father is going to protect an innocent child. A good father is going to protect his family, be a provider and a protector. And we'll let the blood of Jesus deal with the rest of that, right? Now, in closing, 2 Corinthians 6 and 14. You got to be able to protect yourself, folks. You know, God protects his family. He loves his family. Verse 14, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness? You see how God's showing you he's dividing right here, Walker. Even in this teaching that Paul's doing for his second epistle in the Corinthian church, he's judging, he's showing them how to work judgment. Verse 15, and what concord hath Christ with Belial, or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement, so if we're in agreement with something that's spiritually hurting us, God is so kind and merciful, he comes in and says, look, this is what's doing it. Do you want to separate yourself from it, or you want to stay with it? Fair enough? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. Hold on. Walker, didn't we read in this series that judgment must begin at the house of God? If it first begin at us, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? So know ye not, you are the temple of the Holy Ghost? Do you want to wait and stand in front of a throne or a judgment seat? Or do you want to have those things judged now, right here, right now? And have the thing that separated you from God be separated off from you, Tim. And then watch what God does. This is a promise. And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And here's the word of the Lord. Wherefore come out from among them, and be you separate, saith the Lord. And touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. See how he divides it? You separate yourself, God joins you to him. Divides it, separates, joins. And the last verse, did we read 17? 18. He said, and will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughter, saith the Lord Almighty. Judgment is good. Well, let's finish with what I said in the beginning. Judgment is good when it's done right, and God does it right. How many of you can entrust God with your whole heart? How many of you can entrust God with your thoughts and give him a chance to work with you and bring peace into your life and help you with some of these things that that hinder us at times? The fear, the depression, the anxiety. I'm not just saying it because I read it in the Bible. I'm not just saying it because I'm guessing, folks. I've lived it. And I'm telling you as a testimony, God can and will do it for you too. Amen? Any questions or any thoughts, any quickenings or testimonies anybody want to say? Jennifer?
Just, Brian, right there when you were reading those last two verses, I thought of the prodigal son. And it said, basically, because it said, be separate, and the Lord, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. He received him back. And then it said, and will be a father unto you. So he was still his father.
Isn't that
as soon
awesome?
As he separated and went back. So
isn't
that cool.
Awesome?
Yeah.
He went out from his father, spent all his inheritance, found, joined himself to a citizen of the land, found himself in the pig trough. He even ate what the pigs had. And the Bible says he came to himself. He realized, Jennifer, my father, the servants of my father's house do better than I do here. And it was awesome what you're saying there, because when he went back to his father didn't hold anything against him. He forgave him. He killed the fatted calf. He put a coat on him, put a ring on his finger, and said, welcome home. My son that was dead is alive. That's awesome. Anybody else? Okay, appreciate you guys. Remember Bible studies this week.